Who remembers something we discussed in the class yesterday? Or something from the texts, the verses? What is Kapila Muni explaining? Yes. That's really the essence or the conclusion. Who remembers something else that we spoke about yesterday? Yes. There are two kinds of those who follow the Shastra, because we've previously heard about the terrible, horrendous, horrific results of just acting in a fruitive way in the previous chapter, beginning at the end of chapter 29. Perhaps. Yeah. At the end of 29, where time was discussed, and then it went on to discuss time's actions for an impious fruitive worker, and then for a pious person who follows Shastra. And the pious person, there were actually two sections that discussed such persons that we read yesterday. One, by performing fruitive actions according to Shastra that was selfish, one can go to the moon planet. Does anyone remember where the second one would be able to go? Pitriloka. And for any of you who say that the Bhagavad Gita shouldn't have been, should have left the way that where as it was when Prabhupada was there, in the old version, instead of saying Pitriloka, it said the planet of the trees, because the Pitris. So for those of you who think that it should have been the same, it might have confused other people who, and damaged Prabhupada's authority too in speaking. But in either case, whether one goes to using this gradual process, if one goes to the moon planet and drinks the beverage known as somaras and attains great longevity in that way, or if one goes to the Pitraloka and then is able to, due to attachment to family, take his birth after years and years of pious enjoyment in this higher planet, take his birth in his own family again. There are many people who have these kind of desires. I once met one man who was wishing to take his birth in that family, that same family that he was born in now. And then, Hare Krishna. What else? Anyone remember anything else?
Unless one develops the mood of service, one will there's a great chance that one has to return.
And even if one goes to the Haranyagarbha, King Chola. Even if one goes to the Garbhadakshay Vishnu, because if one meditates upon the Supersoul, since the Supersoul only exists in the material world, because there is no Supersoul outside of the material world, there is Lord Narayan or Lord Krishna. So if the Supersoul or meditation on the Supersoul or being a devotee of the Supersoul is not a permanent position, either one, according to one's desires, either one goes to Brahman, or one can go to Vaikuntha Loka after being transferred to Brahma Loka. Or if one is a devotee of Lord Brahma, one can go to Brahma Loka and then become, and then go to the spiritual world, or go this way or that way. But all these gradual processes are very dangerous. One takes the word, I can't remember the exact word, but it had dwara in it, the gate of the sun. Going towards the sun planet. This is also described in the Bhagavad Gita. The yogis perform incredible deeds. They ride the sun ray backwards to the sun. The potency of a yogi. And then gradually, as described in the second canto, second chapter, gradually he can attain Brahmaloka when his consciousness becomes so incredibly subtle Because according to the subtleness or the grossness of one's consciousness, one lives on that plane, on that platform. So the conclusion of describing all these different paths was that one should neglect those paths because the result isn't as good as bhakti. It is more difficult. It is dangerous. In bhakti, when one performs bhakti and surrenders to Krishna, one is in Krishna's hands. And then, if one is going by one's own power, one's advancement is limited by one's own potency, one's own intelligence, one's strength, one's yogic prowess, and the material energy, daivye shugunome mama maya durateya. It is very powerful. Very powerful. So the conclusion, as expressed in 22, and continues to text 25, is as such, tasmatam savabhavena bhajasva parameshtanam tadgunasrayaya bhaktya bhajaniya padambuja. My dear Mother Kapila Muni says, I therefore advise that you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For his lotus feet are worth worshipping. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Samasvitam ye parapalava pladam pavam. That one should take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. This is what surrender actually is. Gotripte varanam tata. That I am not capable of protecting myself. Very difficult for a conditioned soul to do this. Usually he has to be smashed into fine powder before he'll do that. Because our experiences in the material world are taking shelter of another and being exploited or not having our needs met. So one's relationship with Krishna, one's affection for Krishna must grow. Otherwise it is not possible to in fact deeply, fully, truly surrender to him. And if we have not mastered this, what will happen at the time of death? What will save us? What will we hold on to if we don't trust Krishna? What will we hold on to at the time of death? Wherever our attachment is, whether it's to the family or to our doctor, or to our money or to our intelligence or to our plans, the soul is tiny by nature, it needs a shelter. It is tatasta shakti. It needs a shelter. If we don't hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna and make them, those lotus feet, our shelter, we needing a shelter will hold on naturally, needing some shelter, we will hold on to some object or another of the material world. Therefore, as we heard in a previous chapter, it is wise not actually to become entangled in the material world because the material world tends to pull us in. To pull us in. Therefore, varaktir is required. One should be very dutiful. One shouldn't neglect one's duties. But the recommendation was detachment. Detached dutifulness. And because, for instance, in household life, it's difficult to deal with the material energy and not become attached. Therefore, at the end of one's life, in preparation for death, one should practice, leave family life and practice dependence on Krishna. This is the para atmas nishtam that is recommended. This is what sannyas means actually. It means dependence upon Krishna. wandering dependent, Paripurjakacharya, dependence upon Krishna. So his lotus feet, Kapila Muni tells his mother, are worth worshipping. Except this, with devotion, with all devotion and love. For thus you can be situated in transcendental devotional service. We'll just read, because we'll cover, if Krishna allows, we'll cover the verses, the text to the end of the chapter. We'll just, even though these purports are very important, we'll just read the last, we'll read different parts of different purports, and here we'll read the last, perhaps the last one third. Oh, I just heard Prabhupada speaking about this point in a lecture this morning in London, 1973, a Bhagavad Gita lecture. He was explaining that it's not easy. It's not so easy to always think about Krishna because the material world shakes one. He said, if you think that, oh, I'll just perform my duties and don't worry, and then the last 3 years of my life, he mentioned, then I'll practice thinking of Krishna. He said, it's not so easy. The material world, it shakes one. And unless one has practiced very deeply in one's life, and then he quoted a Bengali saying that the test of one's bhajan, I don't know if anyone knows this, is remembrance of Krishna at the time of death. Because our bhajan may appear to be shallow to others, or may appear to be deep to others. But where one's attachments actually lie, and where one's shelter actually lies, is very difficult for another to discern, to understand. And it is even hard for one oneself to understand where one's shelter actually is. Because as we sort of float through our life in the material world. But unless our shelter is actually Krishna, it will be very difficult, Prabhupada is explaining, to actually remember him at the time of death. To hold on that tightly. So the test of one's bhajan, Prabhupada said, is if one is actually able to remember Krishna. And the practice for that, Prabhupada says, with Trinadapi Sunichena, Turodapi Sahisnuna, Amanina Manadena, and then Kirtaniya Sadahari, that the practice for that is always constantly chanting Krishna's names. So Prabhupada explains in his purport here to 22, towards the end, that we should take shelter of Krishna because he is Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu. He is an ocean of mercy. So Prabhupada says, his behavior with the devotees is so exalted that a devotee need not try to divert his attention to any other worship. It is said that the demoniac Putana came to kill Krishna by poisoning him. Where is that said? Which canto of the Bhagavatam? Third canto. You know that verse? Raise your hand if you know that verse. Yes, I also know. A good one. Say it together. Kamva dayalam sharanam. Who is more worthy of sharanam, of taking shelter of surrendering to than Krishna? Look at his magnanimous nature, benevolent nature. Putana came to kill him. She was 99.9% demonic, trying to kill him. But there was one little part of her that she was coming as a mother, but to kill him. But Krishna saw that part, and he took that good part and gave her the position of datri, of nurse in the spiritual world. So kamvadayalam sharanam bhajema. Who is more worthy of taking shelter than Krishna? If we have one little good part and 99 bad parts, we want someone who's going to be very generous in their judging us, not a strict. We want mercy, we don't want justice, at least I do. So she was given the same position as his mother. Devotees pray, therefore, that if a demon who wanted to kill Krishna gets to such an exalted position, why should they go to anyone other than Krishna for their worshipful attachment? There are two kinds of religious activities, one for material advancement and the other for spiritual advancement. Which one do we want? Are you sure? Then you have to decide. Not just one time, but many, many times every day. What do we actually want? Do we actually want spiritual advancement or do we want material advancement? Krishna will hold one in one hand and give it to us, offer it, and we have to say, do we want this? Is this where we want to put our attachment? Yayatam mam prapadyante. He'll give it if that's what we want. By taking shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna, one is endowed with both kinds of prosperity, material and spiritual. Why then should one go to any demigod? But we should not want material. Oh, if we do that, if we can want that, but that will disallow us from going to Goloka Vrindavan. Prabhupada, I have one excerpt here from a lecture of Prabhupada's in Hyderabad. You have been to Hyderabad? Yes? In 1975, he's explaining in a conversation the mood of a devotee. You should submit, and you should feel that I am worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given me this chance to serve Krishna, to offer Krishna, my Lord, I am worthless. I have no capacity to serve you, but on the order of my Guru Maharaj, I am trying to serve you. Please do not take any offense. Accept whatever I can do. That's all. That is my request. That mantra is sufficient. So someone had asked him in Hyderabad if it was a necessity to learn the Sanskrit, different Vedic Sanskrit mantras. So Prabhupada said, that mantra is sufficient. The one that he just said, that humility. That mantra is sufficient. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yo me bhaktya prayachati. Krishna never said that one who offers me with Sanskrit mantras. Yo me bhaktya prayachati. The real thing is bhakti, feeling. How can I serve Krishna? How can I please him? That is wanted. The process is not to become a very good scholar in speaking Sanskrit or English. Always feel that I am worthless, but have been given a chance to serve by the grace of my Guru Maharaj. So kindly accept whatever little service I can give. I am offensive, so kindly excuse me. In this way, Prabhupada concludes, be humble, meek, and offer your feeling, and Krishna will be satisfied. Not that you have to show how you can speak in the Sanskrit language. Not anything against Sanskrit or being scholarly or learning these things. Prabhupada couldn't have translated these books. The Goswamis were such great Sanskrit scholars. But the essence of the process is not that. If that's one's nature, one can offer that to Krishna. But what is one actually offering? Whether one is a Sanskrit scholar or one is a cook, or one is a preacher, or one is a cleaner, or one is a gardener. What is being offered? It's bhakti, the feeling. Krishna, let me do this for you. This is Bhagavad Dharma. One is resting on the other. The external manifestation is an external manifestation of internal. But until we have very, very deep internal desire to please Krishna, the externals will help us get the internal. But bhakti, tesha maham samudata, mrityu samsara sagara, that Krishna will save his devotee. Mame kam sharanam vraja, masucha, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry. Text 23. He's comparing bhakti to other paths, especially to jnana and yoga, because Sankhya Yoga is a combination of bhakti, jnana, and yoga, Astanga Yoga. So he's going to compare. He wants to show really that bhakti is the essence, and really one doesn't need these other things, jnana and Astanga Yoga, but they can be helpful if one has those tendencies to lead one to bhakti. And that is the fruit of those other paths. So he's showing that. So he's explaining, beginning a comparison of these other paths, because chapter 25 spoke about bhakti, chapter 26 spoke about jnana, chapter 27, jnana, 28, Astanga Yoga, and 29, back to bhakti again. So this, he's clearing up by a comparative study which is the essence and which is really the one that one should do. So this verse hopefully will sound very familiar to you, the 23rd verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnana Yad Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. Engagement. Why should it sound familiar? 1, 2, 7, except for the last line. Jnanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service into Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge. Jnana Yad Yasu Vairagyam. Those two points come easily, quickly. Asu. Jnana comes with Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. So it makes, unto Krishna, it makes it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment, as well as in self-realization, Brahma Darshanam. Text 24. The exalted devotee's mind, this is the result of Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. The exalted devotee's chitta, his mind becomes equipoised in sensory activities, and he is transcendental to that which is agreeable and not agreeable. In other words, the basic illusion of the material world is shattered. Icha dvesha samutena. Next line. Dvanva mohitam. Yes, that these dualities, I want this, I don't want that. Dvanva mohena bharata. These are what exactly what bewilder the living entity. A whole life is spent pushing away and pulling favorable and unfavorable circumstances from us because we don't have an internal shelter. But once that is established, for a devotee, when he fully takes shelter of Krishna, accepts Krishna's mercy in everything, and acts simply for Krishna with no separate self-interest, then he is achieving. He is showing, when one can do that, he's showing the fruit of jnana and vairagya. This is the fruit of actual knowledge and detachment, that one can be steady and equipoised when going in this world. What chapters of the Bhagavad Gita is this described in? Not just one chapter. This, yeah, Stita Dhyam Muni. Two, what other chapter? Five. Who looks upon stone and gold as if equal? That's and chapter. No, there's a whole long list of a person. He's just like was described in the previous chapter. He's aloof from his body because he's not identifying with it. He's focusing his consciousness on Krishna. Also, chapter 12, the end of chapter 12 describes this in specific relationship to a devotee. He is neutral when it comes to the material world. He is unaffected by the material world. It is deep. It is not superficial. And if we want a superficial result, we remain superficial. If we want a deep result, we have to go deep. Once Prabhupada was walking in San Francisco. Which ocean in the United States is by? Which ocean is San Francisco by? Which ocean? Pacific Ocean. So Pacific means peaceful. So Prabhupada said, he asked the devotees, why is it peaceful? And he replied, because it is deep. If we actually want to be peaceful, we have to become deep. And deep is not cheap. One has to... Price is everything. So this is the symptom. Equipoise, because, okay, Krishna is giving me this. Okay. Next, Krishna is giving me some sweet. Okay. By his mercy, by his mercy. Otherwise, I want the sweet. If I'm thinking of me, I want the sweet. You're trying to slap me, I will beat you. I will kill you. Before... Continuing, because of his transcendental intelligence, the pure devotee is equipoised in his vision and sees himself to be uncontaminated by matter. So this is talking about a devotee achieving the perfections of jnana effortlessly. Jnanirat yasu vairagyam. Effortlessly, his subtle body is dissolved by the practice of devotional service at the core, at the false ego. He does not see anything as superior or inferior, and he feels himself elevated to the transcendental platform of being equal in qualities with the Supreme Person. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is completely transcendental knowledge, is complete transcendental knowledge. So here's this Advaya Gyan. But according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha avatar. So what verse in the first canto? I don't want numbers, I want... What verse? Vedanti tat tatva vidhas tatvam yaj jnanam adhyaya. Adhyaya means this absolute truth. This is defining the absolute truth. It means there is only, it is non-dual knowledge. It is non-dual. There is one absolute truth. But learned persons, according to the path that they are on, they will perceive that absolute truth in one way or another. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sabyate. We'll read just a little bit of Prabhupada's purport. The devotee, because the jnanis see the absolute truth as Brahman, and they are satisfied with that. And the yogis see that same absolute truth, they're not seeing a different absolute truth, as Paramatma, and they are satisfied with that. But the devotees see that same absolute truth by the mercy of Krishna. He fully reveals himself to the devotee as a person. So one can say that, well, I'm seeing the absolute truth, I'm a jnani, you're saying, so what's the difference? But there is a difference, and the difference is what? Huh? The affection, the reciprocation, relationship, completeness of knowledge, yes? The bliss, The devotees consider merging Kaivalya Narakayate, like hell. Can you, and that is about a billion times more blissful than anything in the material world, but a devotee would rather be in hell than that, because he is so addicted to serving Krishna. So just imagine the bliss that comes from serving Krishna. A devotee, he understands these two other features properly, but a jnani doesn't actually understand the Krishna feature of the Absolute Truth, or Krishna, he doesn't understand Bhagavan. So the devotee, this is reading about just about halfway through the purport, I would estimate it as, the devotee can see the Supreme Lord face to face. And what's Krishna's face like? So beautiful. Mridusmitam. Very, very soft smile, like madugandhi, like the fragrance. You see how gentle Krishna's smile is, like the very, very, very subtle, very appealing, very attractive, like the fragrance of honey. Maduram, 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 maduram. Very, very, very sweet. There is, on the top of Krishna's face or head, mukha, is the peacock feather. And then is his beautiful chin, and but right in the middle is his very sweet smile. And then he has his dancing eye. So beautiful, the impersonalists cannot appreciate the beauty of Krishna. They cannot appreciate the sweetness of Krishna. So therefore, the four Kumaras and Sukadeva Goswami, when they glimpsed the sweetness of Krishna, they gave up this Brahma Jnana. So the Jnani, the empiric philosopher or yogi, cannot see the Lord face to face. They cannot be elevated to the position of associate of the Lord. So the devotee achieves the Jnana and Vairagya that the Jnani and the yogi, the Jnani achieve, but the Jnanis don't achieve the personal association of the Lord as the devotees do. There is no evidence in the scriptures saying that by cultivating knowledge or worshipping the impersonal Brahman, one can become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor by executing the yogic principles can one become an associate of the Supreme Godhead. Impersonal Brahman, being formless, is described as adrishya because the impersonal effulgence of Brahma Jyoti covers the face of the Supreme Lord. Some yogis see the four-handed Vishnu sitting within the heart, and therefore in their case also the Supreme Lord is invisible. The Supreme Lord, meaning here, even though we sometimes say that the Paramatma, we usually say he is the Supreme Lord, but here it is comparative to the Supreme, Supreme Lord, Krishna, Stu, Bhagavan, Sayam. It is not, even seeing the super soul is not like that. Only for the devotees is the Lord visible. 27, continuing. So we heard most, in those verses was comparative of bhakti to jnana and now to yoga. And then back to jnana. The greatest common understanding for all yogis is complete detachment from matter, which can be achieved by different kinds of yoga. But this goal of detachment, jnanirat yasyu vairagyam, jnanam chaya rahaitukam, this automatically comes to a devotee because he places the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart. And therefore, what attachment, what is valuable for him in this world? 1 paisa, 1 cent, 1... What other little currencies are there? I already said paisa, or 1 cent, or one baht, that's Thailand. It's not worth very much. Only if you're if you're very, very, very poor, if you see 1 paisa on the ground, you go, ah, Even the beggars won't even do that nowadays. But a billionaire, a Kropati, he won't. Who cares? So if one actually has devotion to Krishna, the petty, little, small, insignificant pleasures of this world are like 1 paisa pleasures for a wealthy man. But because we are poor of heart, poor of bhakti, we become attracted to these small, small, small things. So that is the goal of yoga practically. Developing this detachment from matter, and that's achieved so easily through bhakti. Now comparing again, so these are the topics of chapter 25 through chapter 29. Going to the jnanis. Those who are averse to the transcendence realize the Supreme Absolute Truth differently through speculative sense perception, and therefore, because of mistaken speculation, everything appears to them to be relative, not absolute. From the total energy, and this is the Gyan part, which really summarizes chapter 26, what is really to be learned. And if one doesn't have this knowledge, one must see everything. He open his eyes and look at the material world and simply see relative things. Relative means, what does relative mean in this case? What is the opposite of relative?
Absolute.
So what is the absolute truth? Yeah, complete, that's good. It's fully, there's nothing separated from it. But the relative world, just like I have in English, we'll say, here is my brother, he is my relative. I have a relative relationship with him. It is based on my body. It's not an eternal relationship with him. If I say he is a spirit soul, I am a spirit soul, this is the absolute relationship I have with him, that we are all parts of Krishna. But relative means it's dependent on something else. Everything in the relative world is dependent. It is not a unit of its own. But Krishna is the only absolute entity. He is the only one who is not dependent on anything. Everything is dependent on him. Therefore, the existence of everything in this world is relative or dependent upon the absolute truth or Krishna. So if we don't see Krishna everywhere, we are seeing little things only, separate units of existence and truth. And therefore, the soul never feels satisfied in his knowledge, in his happiness, or his security. Because everywhere there are separate things, no unified truth. But if one has this perfect jnani vision, which is really a summary of the truth that is spoken in chapter 26 of Kapila Dev's teaching, then wherever one is, whatever one is doing, feels himself in the hands of Krishna. Because for him there is nothing. Stavaram jagamam deki na dekatari murti sarvachahoya ishtadeva spurti. Everywhere he looks, whether he sees moving or non-moving things, he sees everything is Ishtadeva Spurti, a manifestation of his Lord. So this verse, that summarizes really the purpose of chapter 26, which was a whole explanation of the entirety of the material creation. And that is, from the total energy, the Mahatattva, Krishna says, I have manifested the false ego, the three modes of material nature, the five material elements, the individual consciousness, the 11 senses, and the material body. Similarly, the entire universe has come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am the truth, the unifying principle that everything rests upon. This is param, this is the param satyam, the absolute truth. And this is the highest meditation. And the highest of highest meditations is when one serves that absolute truth, Krishna, with the deepest of devotion and love. That is bhakti. The jnani can achieve an understanding of the absolute truth. He can see what? He can see how everything is spiritual energy. That is true. Everything is spiritual energy. I am also that energy. So hum. Tatvamasi. Aham brahmasmi. All true. But there is more. Krishna says here, and he also says in the first of the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam verses, which is Aham eva sam eva gre, nanyat yat sarasat. Aham, aham. It is me, I. I am the one, Krishna says, that this is all resting upon. Aham, 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 three times. And to see anything other than that, know that this, that, know that you are just affected by Maya. The curtain of Maya has covered your eyes. So you cannot see reality any longer. Illusion. So he's summarizing this, because he's ending his teachings now. So he's summarizing everything that he said. Text 30. Results of Agyani. Again, this point on Gyan, because there's so much Gyan mixed in here. The results of that a jnani achieves is achieved by a devotee, because he wants to make the point that we should become devotees. Give everything to Krishna. Don't mix anything in. This perfect knowledge can be achieved of that Krishna Vasudeva Savamiti. This perfect knowledge can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service, with faith, steadiness, and full detachment, and who is always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. He is aloof from material association. Even though he's in this world, he is not in this world. Even though he is in this world, he is not in this world. Just like that yogi who is so intoxicated with his love for Krishna that he doesn't know if he's wearing clothes or not. Is he in this world? You could say he's in this world because you may see him, but he's not in this world either. So exalted devotees, we hear about Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguya Go Sri Jiva Gopalako. All day long, all night long, chanting, dancing, offering obeisances. Sankyapurvakam namagana natabhi kalava sanikrito. No sleeping. Nidrahara vahara vijato. Not in this world. Practically no eating. But just always in ecstasy. Crying. Yes. But not because they were hungry. Because of the deep separation from Krishna. Are they in this world? Actually not. They are residents of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada was really, how it's not possible to, how he preached continuously, 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 continuously. No sleeping practically. He was so inspired to preach. So inspired to crush this demonic, materialistic civilization. One lone man wanting to crush this whole. And he pointed out, he found the weak spot. And he wanted to break that weak foundational spot of what? Huh? Yeah, what?
Science.
Yes. The science has poisoned everyone, thinking that life comes from matter and that we have evolved from, you know, just previously our ancestors were monkeys, and then one monkey had a human child or something. We can make fun of it like that. And he thought, what is this human child? Why did he go away? Or something came from nothing. Suddenly, in the midst of all the nothing, suddenly... And he said, how come we never see that? We're walking suddenly. But yet everyone believes in these things because we were taught this way when we were babies and children. Oh, life comes from chemicals. If we give you the chemicals, you can make life. Excuse me, I have another appointment now. But we just blindly follow that. And they accuse the religionists of all just believing on faith, as if everyone else doesn't believe on faith. Hard science and facts. So Prabhupada attacked this very strongly, because this is the basis of the contemporary civilization, which is soul killing. Soul killing, animal killing, human killing. Killing. So this perfect knowledge, which is the actual freedom from material miseries, they promise, the scientists promise, through medicine will be free from all material miseries. But not today, tomorrow. But keep sending your paychecks coming. Anyway, we won't go any more in that direction. But Prabhupada was in such... continuously kicking and kicking and kicking and preaching about Krishna consciousness, and inspiring the devotees incredibly. So this perfect knowledge can be achieved by a person who is already engaged in devotional service with faith, steadiness, and full detachment, who is always absorbed in thought of the Supreme. He is aloof from material association. So all these other paths, the jnana, the bhakti, Kapila Muni is explaining, excuse me, the jnana and the yoga, they end in bhakti. So therefore, text 31, etyetad katitam gurvi. Thus, this is described, O respectful mother, jnanam tat brahma darshanam. I've described this to you, by which one can understand the truth about matter and spirit, about Purusham and Prakriti, which is one of her original questions. My dear respectful mother, I've already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understanding the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. So there are two kinds of spirits, the soul and the supreme spirit, the Atma, the Paramatma. And there's matter, there's Prakriti. So there's three. And then there's the source. 32. So all this, 32, 33, describe how jnana or bhakti, the whole purpose of everything, it culminates in awakening our relationship with Krishna. Philosophical research culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnanam yogas chaman nishto nargunya bhakti lakshana. After achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the modes of material nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Mam chayo Samatyayana Bhakti Yogena Saganan Samatityayatan Brahma Vyayaka. Or after achieving this understanding, when one becomes free from the material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavat, Artha, Bhagavat, Artha Bhagavat Shabda Lakshana. One has to find the purpose, is to certainly the purpose, Eka, Eva, Artha, one's purpose is certainly is Bhagavat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita it described that both methods, the method of Jnana and the method of Bhakti, are meant to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Which verse or which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita compares the two methodologies? Say, yes. Klesham digataras tesham avyakta vyaktam. That one is very difficult and one is actually easy. The jnani method is very difficult. One has to renounce the world without a higher taste. Very, very difficult. The senses have no engagement. Very difficult. A single object is appreciated differently by different senses due to its having different qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, but according to different scriptural injunctions, he appears to be different. Brahmeti, Bharamatmekti, Bhagavaneti, Sabyate. Prabhupada's purport, just a little bit from Prabhupada's purport on page 805, if you have the same book as I have. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. If one wants to understand the absolute truth and perfection, he must take to devotional service. Of course, no one can understand the absolute truth and all perfection, meaning fully. That is not possible for the infinitesimal living entities, but the highest point of understanding by the living entity is reached by discharge of devotional service, not otherwise. There are a few comments. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Sridhar Swami, both have commented on this verse. Srila Sridhar Swami comments, Bhagavatam 3:32:32 states that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is attained by Jnana Yoga. However, the Jnana Yoga described here, however, is like Bhakti Yoga. This text notes that philosophical research, Jnana Yoga, culminates in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are two kinds of Jnana Misra Bhakti that we sometimes refer to. One is your purpose is to attain Brahman, but you use Bhakti to gain that. So sometimes that's called Jnana Misra Bhakti, or Bhakti mixed with Jnana. But sometimes one is practicing Jnana, but the real purpose is Bhakti. This is referring to that. There is some Bhakti, but there's some Jnana mixed in there. So Srila Sridhar Swami comments that this verse is like that. It's really Bhakti, but with some Misra of Jnana, mix of Jnana. After achieving this understanding, he says, understanding Vasudeva Savamiti, when one becomes free from material modes of nature, he attains the stage of devotional service. Either directly by devotional service or by philosophical research, one has to reach the same destination, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How are Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga the same? The answer is hinted at by the phrase, either by devotional service directly or by philosophical research, one has to find the same destination, which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that way you can say, if you're going by bicycle or if you're taking a rickshaw, it's the same, because you're going to the same place, which is bicycle or rickshaw to get to Krishna? To go where? Loibas, of course. Where else? That's what every rickshawa says. Prabhu, Loy Bazaar. So you can say it's the same, because you're going to the same place. So in that sense, devotional service or jnana is the same, because the destination is the same. Srila Jiva Goswami's comments on these texts are included in Bhagavad Sandarbha Anuchheda 87. He says, this same destination as the Brahman feature of Bhagavan, which is further described by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 12:3-4. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons, engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me, Krishna says. By performing fruitive activities and sacrifice, by distributing charity. So this is bringing in the... He's talked so much about the jnana and yoga, but this is the remainder of the Vedic process. By performing fruitive activities and sacrifice, by distributing charity, by performing austerities, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by subduing the senses. These type of things are also described in which chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? And? Four? Four also? Yes. By accepting the renounced order of life, and by performing the prescribed duties of one social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service. So it's summarizing everything that comes before the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita practically. And by exhibiting the process of devotional service containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, which was spoken of at the beginning of this chapter. By understanding the science of self-realization and by developing a strong sense of detachment, one who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is represented in the material world as well as in transcendence. He is in the material world through the Supersoul, His energy, and He's in transcendence in the Vaikuntha planets and in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is the goal, the result of it all. But why do those things if one can just simply depend on Krishna and serve Him and chant His names and take prasadam and dance and chant and worship the deities and talk about Him? That's the point he's making. Text 37. He's ending his instructions on this Sankhya Yoga with that. And now some more, a summary of, because that really was the summary of 25, 26, 27, 28, and the beginning of 29. And then in 29, end of 29, 30 and 31. And he's spoken about time and fruit of activities a lot. So he in 37 and 38, he summarizes that, because he's summarizing all his teachings. My dear mother, I've explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. This is actually, as we can see from the word by words, it's actually chaturvidham, that's four divisions. And if we read the purport, we'll see that it doesn't mean the four social orders, it means the four divisions of devotional service that were described earlier. One in each of the three modes of material nature and one in transcendence earlier in chapter 30? 30 was it? 29. I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different chaturvidha. I have explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. And Prabhupada in his purport explains what the real Chaturvita that he's mentioning, referring to. Bhakti Yoga, as described before, is divided into four divisions. Three in the material modes of nature and one in transcendence, which is untinged by the modes of material nature. Devotional service mixed with the modes of material nature is a means for material existence, whereas devotional service without desire for fruitive results and without attempts for empiric philosophical research is pure transcendental devotional service. What chapter was that? Again? 20? 29, thank you. So he's summarizing everything. His teachings are completed. There are varieties of material existence for the living entities according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real entity, real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. In other words, it's very dangerous, one who enters into forgetfulness of his relationship with Krishna. Very dangerous. Samsara dava nalalila loka tranaya karuna kanakanatam. We'll read Prabhupada's short purport. And that will end, that ends completely all the instructions of Kapila Muni as well as his summaries. But we'll read Prabhupada's purport and then go on where he describes who should be instructed given these instructions and who shouldn't. But first Prabhupada's purport. Once one enters into the continuation of material existence, it is very difficult to get out. This I have practical experience of. So difficult, chanting Hare Krishna. From now on, I'm going to listen to every single mantra. And then immediately, my mind wanders to something else because Daivi Esha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dratyaya. Maya will hold on so tightly as long as we are holding on to a sense of false ego, of independent enjoyer. Soon as we release our grasp, Maya, by Krishna's mercy, immediately becomes shy because she cannot stand in front of Krishna. Maya haite abhimukhe chavala jamanam. Maya cannot stand before Krishna. And this is the key. Somehow always becoming absorbed in Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, serving, to become absorbed in Krishna, and not becoming absorbed in the mind and the body. Absorbed in Krishna. And the more we are absorbed in Krishna, the more taste we get from that, the more we can let go to our attachment to the mind and body and false ego, which bind us to this world of birth and death. It is very difficult to get out once one is in. It is prison. Durga means fort. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes himself or sends his bona fide representative, and he leaves behind scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam so that the living entities hovering in the darkness of nescience may take advantage of the instructions, the saintly persons and the spiritual masters, and thus be freed. Unless the living entity receives the mercy of the saintly persons, the spiritual master or Krishna, it is not possible for him to get out of the darkness of material existence. By his own endeavor, it is not possible. Thus, bhakti. By our own endeavor, it is not possible. So who is eligible to hear this, these instructions? Lord Kapiladev continues. He explains who shouldn't get them first in 2 verses 39 and 40. And then he explains who should get them. This instruction is not meant for the envious, nor the agnostics who say that nothing, God cannot be known or spoken of, or for persons who are unclean in their behavior, nor is it for hypocrites or for persons who are proud of material possessions. Because the envious, when you say everyone should surrender to God, they will feel that instruction like a spear in the heart. Surrender to God? Why should I do that? Let him come before me. If he comes before me, then I'll believe he exists. Here, God. Here, boy. Here, God. He has to come and dance before us? So these people, because it is very bad, because then they get blasphemous. Or the people who are too attached to material possessions, you talk to them about detachment, they get very angry at you. It is not to be instructed to persons who are too greedy and too attached to family life, nor to persons who are non-devotees and who are envious of the devotees and the Supreme Personality and the Personality of Godhead. Instruction should be given to the faithful devotee who is respectful to the spiritual master, non-envious, friendly to all kinds of living entities, and eager to render service with faith and sincerity. In other words, his heart is clean and open. This instruction should be imparted by the spiritual master to persons who have taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be more dear than anything, who are not envious of anyone, who are perfectly cleansed, and who have developed detachment for that which is outside the purview of Krishna consciousness. So now we can understand why we say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very merciful. At least I can understand, because of so many of the qualifications that I shouldn't hear these instructions, and nothing practically on the other side. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can chant Hare Krishna, we can hear, by Prabhupada's mercy, we can hear the purports which push us, purify us, push the negative disqualifications away and purify us at the same time as we hear. Not that first we have to become pure and then we can hear. Otherwise, no one could hear anything. In the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami says so often at the beginning of each, he says that anyone who is envious and who hear these things, I curse them. But Mahaprabhu and the great acharyas are very kind to us. They're very liberal. We just become a little bit humble, yes. So now the final verse concludes it. Ya idam shrinuyaram ba shadaya purusha sakrit yo vabhidate machita sa yeti padavim chame. He who idam this shrinuyat, who may hear this, he who hears this, O mother, shradaya, with faith, purusha, a person, sakrit. So a person who hears this with faith, someone who hears this with faith, or sakrit. And Prabhupada says, faith and affection. And he who abhidhate, repeats this, machita, his mind, his consciousness fixed on me. He certainly, eti, attains padavim. Cham me, he attains me in my abode. So this is the shrutifal, or the benediction, for those who have heard this. Listen to Prabhupada's translation. Anyone who once meditates upon me with faith and affection, who hears and chants about me sakrit once, who hears and chants about me, surely goes back home, back to Godhead. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the third canto, 32nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Entanglement of Fruit of Activities. So this is very merciful. Very, very merciful. Despite our lack of qualifications or any lack of qualifications that we may have, somehow if we have heard some of Kapila Muni's teachings, very fortunate, or repeat them, very fortunate. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. So we have to be patient, but proceed, but be patient. We have to be patient with others, and we should be patient with ourselves as well. So now there's one more chapter left, and either on Monday or Tuesday, depending upon how Krishna deals with it, that the last chapter, or how he inspires me, or what energy he gives me to deal with it, we'll either finish on Monday or Tuesday. Any questions or comments? Thank you very much. Supta? I'm sorry. Subtle consciousness? Is there any difference between God consciousness and subtle? Gross, I'm sorry. Gross consciousness and subtle consciousness. So what do we mean by gross consciousness? What do you mean by gross consciousness? Oh, you want to know what do we usually mean by gross consciousness? Only what we think about is limited to the body. And what do we mean by subtle consciousness? The mind. We're hovering on the mental platform, on the platform of the subtle body. But spiritual consciousness sees those two, but in relationship to the eternal, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the most subtle consciousness. That is, yeah, I read that quotation. By devotion. Krishna's pleased by devotion. Yes.
So I read this quotation that...
Not from Prabhupada. Oh, did you ever hear, where was it from? I never heard it anyway.
Christian, right?
And what does he mean as the difference between please and satisfy? But how about Putana? How does Putana fit into this one? Well, the line for mercy cases forms over here. We have to be on that line. In Kali Yuga, who is but a mercy case? For preaching, we need to know things, though. Otherwise, we won't be able to answer questions. I heard Prabhupada on the tape say, talking about this point. He said, for preaching, we need to know things. But he said, but even if you don't know anything, you can still preach. But you won't be able to answer questions. He didn't say that part, but he said, you can say, everyone should become a devotee. He said, if you don't know anything other than that, oh, Jana Hare Krishna. But then we see our great acharyas were such scholars, but they weren't just scholars, they were devotees. That was their prime characteristic, their devotion. So if we have the, what is it called, the saruplakshan of devotion, then for going back to Godhead, that is sufficient. So that's the point that Prabhupada is making. That is the essence. It is like, it's like playing the madango or the harmonium. It can be very helpful for the kirtans. But if that's all we have is madango and harmonium, it's not going to help us go back to Godhead. Or if someone has a very good voice for singing, it can be helpful in the kirtan. But the real point is bhakti. Not that those things aren't useful in Krishna's service. Any other questions, comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai, Kapila Muni's teachings ki jai.